Blog Talk Radio.
I was put on this planet for one reason, to play hockey.
Reg, that reminds me. I was coaching in Omaha in 1948, and Eddie Shore sends me this guy as a terrible masturbator, you know, couldn't control himself. Well, he would get deliberate penalties so he could get into the penalty box all by himself, and damned if he wouldn't.
George.
What was his name?
My pants down a little bit and show them the Hockey Night logo.
We got Pootie Tang in the house tonight.
Such a fine line between stupid and clever.
We're men, okay? That means a few things. We like to shit with the door open. We talk about pussy. We go on riverboat gambling trips. We make our own beef jerky. That's what we do.
All right, the Third Man In Radio here on this Tuesday night edition, November the 9th, 2010. I am Chris Block, writer, editor, and keeper of thethirdmanin.com. It is blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin, and also simulcasting and tape delay over there at thethirdmanin.com. Superstar, how are you?
I am well. Yourself?
Just peachy. Well, first of all, I have a question for you, Superstar.
Yes.
Personal one. Of the personal variety.
All right. I refuse the right to not answer without my lawyer present.
Well, here's the deal. Are there normally ramifications for telling a woman no?
If I'm following you right, and generally I'm pretty good at doing that, yes, there are ramifications for telling a woman no.
Because here's the deal, right? I talked about it on the show last week. I said, well, you know, I'm gonna be cutting my schedule back here a little bit, going a little bit crazy. Obviously, I drove myself sick this week. I've been sick all weekend. I actually slept all day today, so I have no notes. I woke up, I ate, and I got over here, and now we're just going to do this. So hopefully I can eventually log into my email. That's not happening right now. I've got about 50 pieces of paper in front of me of things that I was going to formulate a show outline tonight, but we'll see how this works. We've done this before. We can handle it.
We can change them up on the fly. We're pretty good at that.
Right. Okay. So, you know, I said, well, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I sold a bunch of my games for the Blackhawks this month, because I'm going to be traveling, catching up to speed with Rockford a bit more, you know, watching a lot of college hockey, all that kind of crap, right? So I'm not going to, you know, so my lady friend, you know, she decides that she wants to go to the Blackhawks game on Wednesday night, tomorrow night, United Center, Phoenix Coyotes, Dave Tippett, the Shane Doan-less Coyotes. And, you know, offers me up some tickets, you know, to this game. And I just flat out told her no.
Ooh. See, the ramifications that you're going to run into is the next time you want to go do something, or you say, hey, I don't have my tickets, let's go get some Hawks tickets, and go to the game. Be very prepared for her to say no.
Well, here's my thinking, right? Because I'm always thinking on my feet. I've been planning on doing this anyway, but I think I'll take her out for a nice dinner this Saturday night at a very nice restaurant where you actually have to. There'll be valet parking, not like the front end of a bar restaurant. You know, not sitting at the bar at Harry Carey's. We're actually going to go to a place with valet parking. Not too dressy, but a little bit dressy, and sit down and have one of them four-course meals.
Nice. Do you have a location picked out already?
I do. I don't want to give it out. I think she knows better than to listen to this. But I'd like to keep it down.
Well, if, you know, the next time you decide that you're going to do this, I have many places that I can suggest for you.
I was going to ask you, but your phone has been disposed this past weekend, and even just a few minutes ago, I tried to text you, and nothing was happening. What's the deal with your phone?
My phone is up and running. As far as texting me a couple of minutes ago, you should have gotten through, no problem.
All right, you're going to have to resend me your messenger request deal, all right?
Okay. You know what happened, Block? You know how sometimes it's even the small amount of badness can do great harm? I had about 4 or 5 drops of water hit the backside of my phone, but they were so well placed, it fried the whole phone and the battery. No recharging. The phone would work, but it wouldn't charge, even with a new battery. Meaning I had about 15 minutes to get everything I possibly wanted out of the phone, because once that phone died, it was never coming back. But nevertheless, you should have gotten through a couple of minutes ago.
We'll take care of that after the show. Of course, last week we talked about it. You know, I made a big deal on the show about the Blackhawks. We'll get into the hockey stuff now for those if that's why you came into this. First of all, before I get into that, I want to thank, again, I did it on the website this morning, but last night I was one of the guests on Treads on the Glass Radio. The Blackhawks, of course, this Saturday night will be in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena, as it's referred to now. For another meeting with the Nashville Predators. Predators right now not playing particularly well, a little bit better on Sunday night, but they got down to a 2-0 deficit very early, and they had to fight their way back, and eventually a little bit of a defensive breakdown at the very end of the game. Jared Smithson missing his defensive assignment. Paul Mara jumps in, pinches down on the play, puts the puck in an empty net, and a comeback has come for naught. Predators will be playing St. Louis, which is currently the best team in hockey, on Thursday night. And, but that's that. But I was on Preds on the Glass Radio last night. So thanks to Buddy. You could go to predsontheglass.com or blogtalkradio.com/predsontheglass, and you could check that show out. Well, never mind. I'll talk about that later. We got emails tonight. We got fantasy hockey. Did you catch any of the Hockey Hall of Fame last night?
I did not, and I really should have, because I will be in at the Joe for Dino Cirelli Hall of Fame night coming this Saturday. So,
how do you feel about Dino Cirelli in the Hall of Fame?
As a Hawk fan, I still hate that jag, but. I guess you can't argue with the numbers, and as painful as a Hawks fan to say, you can't argue with all the numbers that he put out throughout his career. So I don't know.
You don't know.
I guess you can't argue with it.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think there's any question about it. But I want to talk a bit about the Hockey Hall of Fame in a minute. One thing I got to say, though, the NHL just really, you know, on Halloween night or Halloween day all day long, the NHL went dark. No games on October 31st, the Sunday. I kind of know what they're thinking there is. Sunday is typically, that's a day that you're trying to attract families to the rink. But, you know, a person like me, I can't stand Halloween. I don't want to be anywhere near trick-or-treaters. I'm not a father, so I can't get into it that way. I'm a person that will hide in the bedroom with the reading light and pretend that I'm not home, or I'll go hang out at Best Buy all day. That's what I do on Halloween. So a person like me would have loved to have gotten out to a rink on October 31st to watch a hockey game, but whatever. Instead of going dark on the night of the Hall of Fame. And now the NHL is separate from the Hockey Hall of Fame. They endorse it, but the Hockey Hall of Fame as it stands on its own, it's not about the NHL. But on the night that Dino Cicerelli goes into the Hall of Fame, and Cicerelli played for a significant amount of time with the Red Wings, but also Jimmy Devolano, longtime executive, architect among many, with the Red Wings, the great Red Wing dynasty that's been the last two decades. The night that they're going into the Hall of Fame, in Toronto, the Red Wings are hosting the Phoenix Coyotes on Versus, going directly opposite that game. Does that make any sense to you whatsoever?
No. It seems like that was a wasted opportunity there to make it a really special night, especially for Wings fans, and it seems like the NHL may have dropped the ball on that one.
And also because, you know, the NHL has all these trophies that to even people like, you know, not hardcore fans, but even people our age that aren't necessarily follow the game and are up on the history or anything, you have all these trophies, the Norris Trophy, all this kind of stuff, Selke, that means absolutely nothing to anyone, okay? So on a night where you're embracing history and you're putting all these, you know, I wouldn't call Dino Cicerelli I don't think of him as an old-timer. To a 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kid, Dino Cicerelli would be an old-timer, but I mean, you're putting all these old-timers, you're honoring these people, you're embracing history. Why not make it a special night and have all the focus on that? Otherwise, why pay attention to it at all? If you're going to run a game on your network affiliate, the cable network flagship, you're going to run a game directly opposite in competition with the Hockey Hall of Fame, why even acknowledge it to begin with?
That's a very good point. I mean, it's almost the same. Same thing as you talk about the NFL having a Pro Bowl the week after the Super Bowl. You know, after all the attention is focused on one week or one event, to try to come back with another one is just pointless. And same kind of principle. You're splitting your fan base between two different events instead of having one focus.
Yeah, pretty underwhelming class this year, aside from, of course, Downers Grove native Cammy Granato goes in, and she's more than deserving as, you know, pretty much the face of USA women's hockey for, getting it, you know, into young girls' minds and going out there and, you know, being able to play the game, and that's great, totally deserving. Angela James, I'm not that much up on women's hockey, so I don't really know. I should be, but I do have the 2010 ballot, Hockey Hall of Fame ballot, in front of me, Superstar. Yeah, it's interesting because we don't really know what the voting process is. We don't really get results or anything like that, so it's difficult to really determine, you know. Hall of Fame's in general, I dislike, because it's like every year it's an event and you have to put people in. You know, I mean, I know that there's been some debate as to whether Dino Cicerelli's a Hall of Famer or not, and that's unfortunate, but the reason why there is that debate is because every single year we're putting in people that aren't marquee names. You know, I love Glenn Anderson as a player, but he's a supporting guy, and he's a very good player, but he was a supporting guy in the Edmonton Oilers. He wasn't the straw that stirred the drink. He wasn't the main character in that Edmonton Oilers dynasty. I mean, once you start feeling like it's necessary to put the first two lines of a great team in a Hall of Fame, doesn't even matter what, I think you're getting yourself into trouble, because then when you get into numbers comparisons on down the line, that's where things start to get silly. I think if you do a vote every year and enough, you know, whether it's one person, two, three, four, five, I think there should be a limit as to how many people go in every year. But if you do it by percentages, like this certain, you know, like let's just say this year, Dino Cicerelli, in order to get in, needed 70% of the vote. And if he gets that, then he's in. And so on down the line. But, you know, it seems like every year we feel like we have to put people in, and that's where we get into trouble. I think and I don't know how you feel about this religion stuff, but I think that it's pretty, in my view, it's pretty cut and clear. You say a name, and if you know about the game, if you're someone like yourself or me, if you're on TV paid to give your analysis and your opinions, then you must be pretty informed about the game. To the general fan, maybe not, but to us, this should be very simple. You say a name, and whatever your first inclination is, it's either yes or no, and that's it. If you have to debate it at all, then they're not a Hall of Famer. I mean, Hall of Fame, it's not about... it is about numbers, but it should be the absolute best of every era. Was Glenn Anderson the absolute best of his era in really any respect? I don't think so. Glenn Anderson's a great, great player, but you can't just go throwing every great player in the Hall of Fame. Eric Lindros was a great player, but, is he going in? I don't know. He was on this year's ballot. So let's go down. We'll go quickly. You go, and then I'll go, and we'll determine who gets into this Hall of Fame.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is gonna we're gonna make life easier for everyone.
Yes.
Tony Amonte.
No.
No. Dave Anderchuk.
Yes.
No. Ralph Backstrom.
No.
No. Tom Barrasso.
No.
See, that's one I had to think about, so yeah, that's no. Don Beaupre.
No.
No. Brian Bellows.
No.
No. Peter Bondra.
No.
I say yes. His significance to European hockey, yes, I believe that he should be in. Dan Bouchard.
No.
No. Pavel Bure.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to save mine for later because this is interesting and I did want to talk about that. So you say yes. Sean Burke, goaltender.
No. One of my favorites, but no.
You're right, no. Lauren Chabot.
No.
No. Dino Cicerelli.
Yes.
Yes. Vincent Damfus.
No.
No. Eric Desjardins.
No.
No. Ray Ferraro.
No.
No. Doug Gilmore.
No.
Yeah, I love what Doug Gilmore was as a player, but that's a no. Alexei Gusarov.
No.
Yeah, I have to look Alexei Gusarov up because I don't understand why that's there. But, that's a no. Ron Hextall.
Yes.
I'm thinking about it, so no. Larry Hillman.
No.
No. Phil Housley.
Yes.
Yes. Kelly Rudy.
No.
No. Dale Hunter.
No.
No. Arturs Urbe.
No.
No. I don't even know why he's on. Some of these guys,
yeah.
I skipped some people. You'd be shocked who's on this list.
I'm shocked when he's on there. Jesus. But you know what? When you bring up a guy like Arturs Urbe, though, you brought up a very good point that it's not necessarily the NHL Hall of Fame. I would have to look up what Arturs Urbe did in the international play, especially in Europe, because that can be a very big difference then.
Yeah, I want to get back to you with Bure, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But Valerie Kaminsky.
No.
No. Dave Kerr.
No.
No. Steve Larmer.
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting. We need to talk about that later, too. I'll bring that up in a minute. John LeClair.
No.
No. Eric Lindros.
No.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but no. Mike Liu.
No.
Håkan Lube.
once again, you're going back to the European play, and yes.
Yeah, I say yes. Kevin Lowe.
No.
John McLean. No. John McLean.
No.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a Dirk Graham. I mean he's better than Dirk Graham, but yeah. It's
Very, very nice player, very, you know, but not Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah, we're going to go through a couple of those right now. Sean McEachran, no. Scott Mellenby.
No.
Yeah, no. Gilles Meloche.
No.
No. Rick Middleton.
No.
No. Andy Moog.
No.
No. Alexander McGillney.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, I'm saying yes on him, too. Matt Naslund.
Now, once again, this is one I had to think about, so we'll go to no, but...
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, too.
It wouldn't surprise me if he got in, no, but... Yeah, I think that one's a coin flip. If you have the numbers and everything he really did in front of you, I may change my mind. But what you said, right off the back of your head, no.
Yeah, we'll go. If we have time, we'll go back and look at that one. Bernie Nichols.
No.
Bernie put up a lot of numbers, but that's about all he did. Yeah, that's a no. Joe Nieuwendyk.
Yes.
Yeah, again, thinking about it, so it's a no, but he's real close. Adam Oates.
Yeah, yes.
Yes? I'm going no. John Agrodnik.
No.
No. Frederick Olesen.
No.
Felix no. Felix Potvin.
You know, longevity just wasn't there, but he did put up some of the best numbers of that generation. But no.
Yeah, no. Longevity is very important in a Hall of Fame. No. Brian Propp.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. Mike Ricci.
No.
Yeah, no. I don't know. This list really cracks me up. And the fact that these guys are even on a Hall of Fame list is... Mike Ricci, fantastic player. I'd love to go to battle with him if I'm putting together a team that I want to win a Stanley Cup championship. But he's not a Hall of Famer. Stefan Ricci.
No.
Yeah, no. Mike Richter.
Yes.
Really? I have to think about that one.
I kind of took in some of the international play. Obviously, a couple USA teams. So I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I think that the Rangers didn't really. I mean, they underachieved in a lot of respects. I just go with it. Tommy Salo.
No.
Yeah, I guess he's in there because of the Olympics. No. Bobby Smith.
Yes.
Really? Yeah, I'm surprised by that you would say that. I would lean towards yes, yeah. Brent Sutter.
No.
No. John Guy Talbot.
No.
No. Dave Taylor.
Oh. No.
That's a tough one, but no. Steve Stumpy Thomas.
No.
No. Again, I don't know why he's on here. Interesting guy. Rick Tocchet.
No.
Yeah, no. Here, this. I'm Pierre Turgeon.
Yes.
Really? I'm saying no on him. Gary Unger.
No.
No. Rogie Vachon.
No.
I'd have to think really hard and long about this one, but my inclination is no, even though I want to say yes. Rick Vive.
No. Had a couple of great seasons, but no.
Yeah, no on Rick Vive. John Van Beesbrouck.
No.
Yeah, no. Pat Verbeek.
No.
Again, a guy that put up a lot of numbers, but he's not a Hall of Famer, Pat Verbeek. Here's an interesting one. Mike Vernon.
Ooh. You classify that one. That is an interesting one.
He did it in Calgary and Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you got to say,
Yeah, I lean towards yes on Mike Vernon. I know that's controversial because he had some there were some soft seasons in there, but, I mean, when it comes down to it, he got it done. Scott Young, that's a no. I don't even know what's on there. I mean, there are guys on here like Matthew Barnaby, and, I mean, come on.
Do they name every player that retired and is eligible? Jesus.
No. Close. I mean, I don't know. Matthew Barnaby was on here.
Where's the Jocelyn Lemieux on there?
Okay, and some of the other women that are up, obviously Granato and Angela James went in, but Shirley Cameron, Kathy Campbell, Geraldine Haney, Don McGuire, Manam Rayom. She should go in the Hall of Fame just for being on my my go-to list for a period of my adolescence. Fran Ryder and France St. Louis. I have no answer to any of those. I guess Kathy Campbell should probably go in. But,
yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, because she's a major part of the Canadian women's dynasty of recent vintage.
Well, you know, Black, you brought something up as far as Cameron Granato being the face of USA women's hockey. And for the younger generation, you and I remember what USA Hockey was without the pros being any part of it. You could almost make an argument that she was the face of all of USA Hockey for a long time.
I think when we talk about USA Hockey, we talk about what American players mean to the American game. When Mike Modano and Jeremy Roenick were superstars in this breakout superstars in this league from a very young age, and to a lesser degree Brian Leetch. Brian Leetch may have been as good or better of a player than those two, but because they were forwards, centers, you know, specifically, and scoring a lot of goals, you know, highlights all the time, they meant more than Brian Leetch did, by and large. But those guys meant, but. I specifically to women, I mean, Cammy Granato is it.
That's without saying.
I mean, I don't think there's a single female on the current women's program, United States women's program, that wouldn't name her, if not their key influence about playing hockey. She would be in the top three. And I don't
absolutely.
Know how many would be lying to you if they said she's not one or two.
Right. Oh, I agree 100%.
I mean, of everybody that went in, she was the, you know, this time around, of everybody that went in, she was the no-brainer.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how anybody could get that ballot and see Cameron Granato on it and say no or even think about it twice. All right, quickly, 2011 is a kind of a, I mean, again, we're going to have somebody's going to go in next year that doesn't deserve to be in, whether it's somebody that's on the list currently. But the guy that's up, and if this happens, I'm going to Toronto because I really love Eddie Belfour. Eddie Belfour, 2011, first time eligible, yes or no?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, he is. Yes, he is.
Eddie Belfour. Top five of all time in the NHL for wins?
Yeah, I mean, he did it in, you know, he did it in Chicago, he did it in Dallas, and he was always at or near the top of the goalie categories throughout his entire career. You know, I mean, there's probably a couple of years here and there that he was down, but Eddie Belfour should have never left this town. I think you could argue that him leaving and being traded away was more significant than Jeremy Roenick. Just because, you know, at the end of the day, Roenick should have never left town either. But Eddie Belfour is a better goaltender than Jeff Hackett, was a better goaltender than Jocelyn Thibeault at the time. You know, I mean, the Blackhawks, not only did the Blackhawks never replace Eddie Belfour, everywhere he went after that, he was always a better goaltender than what the Blackhawks had. So it was just a ridiculous move, and they paid dearly for it. You know, whereas Roenick's career, you know, after Chicago, declined steadily. And Belfour's didn't. So, but yeah, Eddie Belfour, yes. Other guys, Trevor Linden.
Yes.
Really?
Once again, you talk about the best of that generation, and he did it for a long time.
You know what? If Trevor Linden played anywhere but Vancouver, I don't think anybody would think of him. He was in 1994, he was one of my favorite players. But you know, and obviously he was you know, so important to that team. But Vancouver was in the Stanley Cup final that year because of Kirk McLean and Pavel Bure. Trevor Linden was a great leader, but I can't go there with Trevor Linden. Glenn Wesley.
No.
Longevity and statistics might tell you otherwise, but, I'd say no on him. Darian Hatcher.
No.
No. Stu Barnes, no. Matthias Norström.
No.
Yeah, and Dallas Drake. I don't know why he's even listed.
No.
2012 is going to be a fun year. Here's the list. Superstar, are you ready for this?
Yes.
Brendan Shanahan.
Yes.
Absolutely, yes. Curtis Joseph.
Oh, you could, yes.
Yeah, I put Cujo in too. Let's stick with goalies. Ole the goalie, Olaf Kolzig.
No.
No.
Why
not
the international? Who?
Teppo Numinen.
No.
No. Marcus Naslund.
No.
No. Gary Roberts.
Yes.
Really, to me, he's not a Hall of Famer.
No.
No, I don't want to go to a Hockey Hall of Fame and see Bobby Hull, forget about it. If Bobby Hull and Gary Roberts, that would even be a worse sin. old St. Louis Lou. If Bobby Hull and Gary Roberts have stalled next to each other at the Hockey Hall of Fame, that's a disgrace. Gary Roberts is not a Hall of Famer. Claude Lemieux.
Talk about longevity? No.
Yeah, I don't. Claude Lemieux, terrific player, but not a Hall of Famer. Bobby Holik?
No.
Okay, here we go. Here's, aside from Shanahan and Cujo, here's the top of the crop. Matt Sundin.
Yes.
Yeah, he's going in. Jeremy Roenick.
Yes.
I would say yes, too, and we should talk about that in a second for just a brief moment. We got to move it on here. And the other guy, first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubter, Joe Sakic.
Yes, absolutely.
On Matty Naslund.
If for some reason Sackey doesn't get on the first boat, the whole Hall of Fame is a sham.
Well, yeah, I expect of that class. Let's think about this for a second, though. Of that class, let's say I think four can go in, but it's more likely that it'll be three. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to think about what. You know, there's going to be a push for builders and all that. So, okay, let's just call it four. Who are the four? Roenick, Sundin, Sakic, Joseph, Shanahan. Who are the four? You got to leave one out.
Of that list, I could see either JR or Brendan Shanahan being left off that list.
I think if one's left off the list, it's either going to be Roenick or Joseph. here's the deal on Roenick. If Pavel Bure is a Hall of Famer, then Jeremy Roenick is a Hall of Famer. And I know that there's a lot of people, I mean, Pavel Bure hasn't gone in yet, but there are a lot of people making, you know, making case for Pavel Bure, then Roenick has to go in. If Trevor Linden goes in, Roenick has to go in. I understand that there's, you can make a good argument that Roenick isn't a Hall of Famer, but when you tack on where he ranks in USA Hockey, because again, it's not all about the NHL. Where, you know, the totem pole in USA Hockey and where he stands in that category, I don't know how you leave him out. So many people, when they talk about the Hall of Fame, they make it all about the NHL. It's not all about the NHL. It's all-encompassing.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And if people look at it objectively who are voting, then absolutely Jeremy Roenick is a Hall of Famer.
On Matty Naslin, real quick, yeah, he's a no. NHL, 651 games, 634 points. Although he was a terrific playoff performer, 102 games, 92 points, 35 goals. But no, he's a no. Pretty good statistics over there in Sweden. But no, he's not a Hall of Famer. I mean, I know there are probably people in Sweden that would freak out about that, but we don't have that perspective. So, and that's the other thing. I think that if you're voting, I think it should be cut down into demographics, probably a bad term, but it should be cut down into segments. I think that people who vote should vote based on, you know, what their expertise is. You know what I'm saying? Like if you don't have a great understanding of the history of the Swedish Elite League, then you shouldn't be able to vote a guy in or out of the Hockey Hall of Fame like Matty Naslin, because maybe I shouldn't have a vote. You know, let's just say I had a vote. Maybe I shouldn't be able to vote on whether or not Matty Naslin gets in or not, because I don't have enough of an understanding of what he means to hockey in Sweden.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I think that's hard to regulate overall, but
it's not
in principle.
It's really not. It's just extra work.
Yes.
And I don't know how arbitrary the Hockey Hall of Fame process is. Okay, let's go back. Steve Larmer, you said yes. I think Steve Larmer belongs in based on the streak. But aside from the streak, it's hard to make a real good argument for him other than to say that if Steve Larmer was on the Edmonton Oilers, he would have been Glenn Anderson and you know, vice versa. You know, but I don't know. I love Steve Larmer. I know that's, he's a borderline guy, and to what I said at the top of the show, I think if you're a borderline guy, that means you're not a Hall of Famer. And it pains me to say that, because I love, and that the other thing is, how could you be one of the greatest players of all time if your, you know, prime franchise won't even retire your number?
Yeah, that's an argument too. But and something I want to bring up, since we're talking about Steve Ballmer, we've talked about him not being a real big fan of getting in front of the camera, and then, you know, he gets in the locker room, he showers, he's, you know, has a smoke, and he's gone. But I mean, how much do you think of the media and the roles that these guys play, get in front of the camera and you know, be quote-unquote personable guys, has to do with this as well? I mean, because you can look at Steve Larmer, and, you know, unless you were a big follower of the Hawks at the time, you don't really know a lot about Steve Larmer.
Yeah, well, the more than anything, I mean, Steve Larmer's game wasn't flashy. You know, what Steve Larmer did to you know, on the ice that put that made him stand out, made him so effective, wasn't necessarily, you know, you don't see SportsCenter highlights of guys digging pucks out of corners and then making a quick pass, you know, to the guy behind the net and then driving to the net, and then his disturbance of going to the net is creating an opening for Dennis Savard to, you know, come around and throw a wraparound, or Al Secor to come around and throw a wraparound. You know, I mean, that's he's a part of that SportsCenter highlight, but his name is never mentioned. You know, so it's Steve Larmer was, again, he's fantastic. I'd love to see it, and I think when you talk about other people that are in, but based on what, you know, what we're going by here, how we're trying to decide, I can't put him in because I have to argue it. You know, if I have to argue it, I just don't think he's Hall of Famer. Again, we're not saying that Steve Larmer, based on the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, doesn't belong in there. I'm sure you could go and look and, you know, look at other guys and say, well, that guy's in, so Larmer's got to be in. And maybe one day he gets in. But my thought, again, just to reiterate and wrap this up, is that it's very cut and dry. If you have the knowledge of the game and the history, you should be able to say a name and, you know, in a split second, you should be able to decide whether or not the guy deserves that kind of status. Hall of Fame, which means you were, you know, one of the best players of your era, or you had a significant impact on the game that was, you know, everlasting, or it changed the game. I think that those are the key requirements of the Hall of Fame. And then you throw in longevity and stuff like that. It starts there. And I don't know that, you know, the streak is the biggest thing that Larmer has going for. Because, but here's that. All right, last week on the show, we talked about how the Blackhawks had three games coming up, and it was absolutely essential that they got at least five out of six. How many did they get, Superstar?
Not five. my recollection is right. They got two.
Thoughts on the week that was?
I think that pretty much sums it up. They got two out of three very winnable games. You know, three games that you mentioned they needed to have. This is the time. These are teams you have to start racking points up. And they just didn't do it. They're just not a good hockey team right now.
Very mediocre. I mean, very mediocre. And I think that the issues right now aren't, I mean, they're not things that you can X and O. That's not the issue. The issue about this team is that they don't have an identity. They're not playing for one another. There's no sense of urgency. There's no desperation in their game. Focus is a word that you can use, and it's applicable. But really, it starts with just having a purpose on the ice. And the Blackhawks, when I watch them, they don't look like they have a purpose for being out there. They're just out there playing hockey, and there's some very, very good players out there, and you can see that. And occasionally they flip that switch and they turn it on, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, this is the team that we remember. But then it goes away again because, again, it can be said they don't have anything to play for now. They won their Stanley Cup. You know, there is something to the fact that the meat of this team, the core of it, what do we know? They've already, all of them, basically, have all made or signed huge money contracts already. And then everything went so perfectly well, and they won a Stanley Cup, so they've made their money. They won their Stanley Cup. They're in one of the greatest cities in the world. They're rock stars. Everything's perfect in their life. And now what? And I think that's kind of where the team's at right now.
I wouldn't disagree with that at all.
Because if you watch teams, and I watch... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, they're very complacent with where they're at. And like you said, there's no sense of urgency. There's no sense of... okay, we won our Stanley Cup. Hey, that was a lot of fun. Let's go do it again. It's, hey, we won a Stanley Cup. You know, we'll be revered in this city forever. And it's really funny because, as I'm sure you've seen, the Blackhawks marketing campaign is all involved around, hey, that was last season. This is this season. And they're just not playing like it.
When you look at the Blackhawks right now, currently, of course, you know, they're essentially 500 or slightly above it because percentages are based on points earned. So they're just slightly above 500 in the percentage of points earned category. But if you stretch that out over 82 games and the rest of the conference over 82 games, the Blackhawks would finish with either 82 or 83 points, and that would be, superstar, good enough to be 12 or 13 points out of the playoffs.
Not good.
You know, going through the teams of the past 30 years, there's really no rhyme or reason to say when a team and history has proven that the Stanley Cup hangover thing is a real issue that these teams deal with. That eventually, whether it's based on what we've been talking about, like lack of purpose or sense of urgency, whether it's because you just played so much hockey and you hit the wall. When you go back and you look through time, there's no rhyme or reason to when a team hits it. Some teams come right out of the gate and play very, very well. Some teams are, you know, slightly better than average, and then they hit their stride in the second quarter or the third quarter of the season. But one of the things, going back and looking at all these Stanley Cup champions, is that with a few exceptions, the middle part of the season is when teams sort of, you know, go, you know, kind of come back to the pack a little bit and play 500 hockey. And, you know, if the Blackhawks, if that's an issue that the Blackhawks are going to have to deal with again, if at the end of the season they run out of gas and they're playing 500 hockey again, you know, I don't think right now is the end of the world. Again, it needs to change tomorrow night. We talked about this a week ago, though. It needed to change last Wednesday night, and here we are again, another Tuesday night on the show saying that they've got three games this week. And in my opinion, we said last week they needed 5 out of 6 points. Okay, a week later they got 2. Well, this week they need 6 points. They need to beat Phoenix on home ice on Wednesday night. They need to go to Nashville. Nashville's struggling. They don't have Matthew Lombardi, who came into the season as their number one center. You know, take that for what you will, but he was. They're without Ryan Suter, their second-best defenseman. They're without Marty Erat, at least through, you know, up to this week, they've been out without Marty Erat. So you got to go in and you got to take advantage of that team. You know, that's what a team that's supposedly as good as the Blackhawks should be able to do. And then you come back on Sunday night. Anaheim's a tough team to play against. They've got two very, very good lines. They've got the Ryan Getzlaf, Corey Perry, Bobby Ryan. When Bobby Ryan's not trying to pass through three or four Nashville Predators, he's one of the best forwards in the league. And their defense is average on a good day, but they have a goaltender that's playing great right now, Jonas Hiller. So Sunday night is far from a gimme. But tomorrow night, Wednesday night, the Blackhawks have to make a statement at home. They have to turn this thing around. They have to, you know, to build some positive energy in the group and then take that into Nashville and get a huge road victory on Saturday night and then, you know, play for, you know, I hated this past week when I heard Victor Stahlberg say, or I read Victor Stahlberg say, that the Blackhawks needed to play for the point or play to get to overtime. I mean, you're the Stanley Cup champions. You go into Atlanta, the Thrashers are on the heel of a 3-0 whitewashing at home by Columbus. you're playing for a point? No, I mean, and that's a game that you, you know, that's a pride game. You know, you don't want your ex-teammates that were sent away, that it was decided that they weren't good enough to be a part of the core group. Forget about the salary cap. Those guys, it was determined that those guys weren't good enough to be classified as the core of the team. So they were moved out. So you don't want those guys showing you up. Doesn't matter where the game's played. And you couldn't put them away in regulation. You couldn't put them away in overtime. And you had to win it in shootout. There's not one thing about last week's three games that I can take a positive from. There's not one thing. It wasn't until Marty Brodeur left the game that the Blackhawks got interested. It was amazing. Marty Brodeur gets injured, and all of a sudden the Blackhawks are like, well, now we have a chance. If you remember that game, that's exactly what happened. The second half of the game, the Blackhawks were the better team. They just dug themselves too big of a hole. So, yeah, this week it's got to be 6 points. Then you embark on the 6-game road trip out west, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, then down to San Jose, Anaheim, and L.A., back at home for St. Louis on the last day of the month. So these three games are essential because obviously you're having problems with Edmonton. Calgary and the Saddle Dome, you've had success there, but you never know. Vancouver's a huge game. San Jose's a huge game. L.A.'s an enormous hockey game. And the Blackhawks always seem to have clunkers at the Honda Center. So these next 6 points are essential because history has told us that after the road trip, after the circus trip, what the Blackhawks are at that point is sort of what they are. And if the Blackhawks are a 500 team or they're a below 500 team at that point, it's uh-oh time. It's put all of your tickets up on ticket exchange time because this team is not going anywhere. But that's where they are on December 1st. It's going to be too much for them to handle. I mean, I just don't see them coming back from that. I don't care. If for the first 2 months of the season this is what they're going to show you, then, I mean, there's no hope for them. They'll get hot at some point and rack up a whole bunch of points, but it'll be too big of a hole for them to climb out of.
And, Brock, you know, if it does go sour, and you can obviously make a case for it going to go sour, especially after that very tough trip. With the salary cap the way it is, what, if any, moves can you expect?
Well, I mean, they're not going to do anything. I mean, this is their team. Now, that was a question that was asked me last night on Preds on the Glass radio. This is their team. You know, I mean, outside of, and we got to get into the Rockford Ice Hogs and emails and fantasy hockey here in a minute, and I want to talk about Jack Skilly too. But, you know, this is their group. You know, they're saving sort of, you know, you can sense that if you monitor this thing, you can sense that Stan Bowman is trying to stay $1 million, you know, on pace to at least be under $1 million on that cap. But what is he really going to do with that? I mean, to me, that's giving him the sense of mind that later on down the road, if he's got two or three or four guys out of the lineup that aren't going on long-term IR and aren't going to be out of the lineup that long, I think Stan Bowman sees what happened to Calgary a couple of years ago, what happened at the beginning of the season of the New Jersey Devils. He doesn't want that to happen to him. I think he's just babying that cap to give him that cushion that he can bring up two or three minimum guys, if need be, to fill out these roster spots. I don't think he's doing anything with that. But what can they do? I mean, I wrote about Kyle Beach today on the website, and it's funny because the first period of the Rockford Ice Hogs game tonight, I write about Kyle Beach, and then what does Kyle Beach do? Go right off the bat in the first period, he scores a goal. It was a terrific pass by Ryan Poltoony. It was on the power play, about 7 minutes in. Beach had he essentially had an empty net, but the point was he went to the net. He was in the right spot. He was where a scorer should be. So kudos to Kyle Beach. Jeremy Morin also scored tonight. He also fought at the end of the first period. He dropped the gloves defending Brian Connolly, who got run from behind. Nick Letty also scored in the first period. Rockford's up 4-1 currently on Peoria. Rockford's dominating that game in the first half anyway. Just some notes on Rockford. Nick Letty and Sean Lalonde were paired together tonight for what I believe is the first time in Rockford. Alec Richards was back in the net. Jeff Tafe, he's out of the lineup for at least a week with an upper body injury. Wade Brookbank, who's a veteran who's there on an AHL contract, he's also out of the lineup. And Simone Denny Pepin was the healthy scratch. Christy Domenico went back in. What was I talking about? I got emails in front of me. I got paper. I have no show outline.
Kyle Beach.
Oh, well, yeah, Kyle Beach, he's not, I mean, like I said on the site this morning, he needs to mature, but what Kyle Beach needs to concentrate on is playing hockey. All of the excess in his game, the yapping, the trying to instigate and draw penalties, it's all unnecessary. The guy can score goals. He has a very, very good shot. It's not a great shot, but he's a very good shot. He's a big body that'll fill out a little bit more and be a bit more sturdy on his skates. But he also has to work on his skating. But I've seen, and people have asked me, like, the Blackhawks need a physical presence in the lineup. They need somebody to go out there and stir up stuff. No, they don't. The Blackhawks need to concentrate on playing sound, fundamental hockey and playing 60-minute hockey. Playing 40 minutes. Let's start with 40 minutes. And let's, you know, the first shift of the game the other night, Duncan Keith played 2 minutes. Let's get Duncan Keith, you know, reeled in, and let's get him concentrated on playing some good hockey, because, you know, he looks like Brian McCabe out there. That's what he looks like. That is Duncan Keith's game in a nutshell so far this season. He's Brian McCabe. Blind passes out of nowhere, over-pursuing, leaving his defensive position to go hang out on Brent Seabrook's side, leaving guys all alone in front of the net, chasing the puck. That's what we've seen out of Duncan Keith so far. And that's not getting it done. The Hawks' best players, this is the formula. Blackhawks are going forward with their best players, their superstars, carrying them. Well, what's not happening right now? Their superstars aren't carrying them. So why is it, and I don't understand this mentality, that it's because Kyle Beach is in the lineup. It's because John Scott's dressing. It's because Jeremy Morin got sent down. No. It's because Patrick Kane, because, I mean, Marian Hossa came back, and it was his first game back from re-injuring his shoulder or injuring a new shoulder. We don't know. We pretty much know it's the shoulder, though. He was horrible. But, you know, these guys don't get a free pass. If this is the formula that the Blackhawks are going forward with, then these are the guys that you need to ask questions for, and these are the guys that you have to expect more from. Would we like to see more from Brian Bickle? Sure. But he has a very defined role. And it's the lesser guys that fall into place behind the examples set by Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Marian Hossa, Patrick Sharp, Dave Bolin. It all falls into line, and right now, those guys aren't setting a good example. Duncan Keith. Nick Jalmerson's been brutal. It starts with those guys, because Victor Stahlberg and Jack Skilly and Brian Bickle aren't leading you to 6 points this week. Can you have a game where Victor Stahlberg is the offensive star? Sure, you could have that game. But is he going to be a guy that leads the offense three nights in a row? Probably not. You know, you take what you can get out of those guys, but it's your main players that have to be, they have to be better, because it's their performance so far that has you in the position that it is now. So let's not cloud the judgment here. Let's focus on the main issue, which is the best players need to be the best players, and they need to get their act in gear. Otherwise, you know, this season's going to flatline in due order. Because the way this team's playing right now, they go out west with this act, it's going to get ugly.
And you know, something else you have to think of, it's not early anymore. This isn't 5-6 games into the season where it's like, okay, hey, they're still, you know, kind of gelling, and we'll see what this team's all about down the line. You know, like you mentioned, it's time.
The closest comparison I think that you can make to what the Blackhawks are going through right now, you're right. After Sunday's game, the Blackhawks, completion of Sunday night's game against Anaheim, the Blackhawks will have a quarter of the season in the books. So, you know, even if they win the next three games, I mean, it'd be nice. It helps. You know, but even if they win the next three games, the first quarter of the season is still kind of a disappointment. The best comparison you would be able to make as far as a Stanley Cup champion coming out and in the following season, Tampa Bay doesn't count because they had such a different team after the lockout. It would be Anaheim, the 2007 Stanley Cup champions. They came out the following season in the first 20 games. They went 9-8-3. The second quarter of the season, they were also an average team, 10-9-2. But then they got super hot in the second half of the season. I mean, they went, I'm just looking at the numbers right now. In the second half of the season, in order to finish second in the Pacific and make the playoffs with 102 points, Anaheim had to go 28-10-3.
Oh, that's some serious hockey right there.
Yeah. So that's what the Hawks are looking at here. If they don't get this ship righted, and we said it a week ago, but it really needs to happen now. Yeah. I mean, you can't count on going on that West Coast road trip and winning the first four games like has happened the past couple of years. It's absolutely essential that they, you know, 5 out of 6 points, I guess, would be, I mean, passable, but they really need to go on a three-game winning streak and take that out on the road. That's what they need. And they're capable. These are three winnable games. Just like last week were three winnable games, but, you know, now urgency is now. Chicago Blackhawks. All right, let's do emails real quick. I actually got a bunch, so I don't know how quick this is going to go, but let's do emails. All right, this person asks, Block, who's winning in the Celebrity Deadpool Fantasy League? You or Superstar? Or who is?
Neither one of us are on the board yet. We are still scoreless. One of the members, nicknamed Dickie, is up with Dennis Hopper, the only drafted celebrity to pass away this year.
The only drafted celebrity to pass away so far. I love how the emailer uses fantasy league. I mean, this is no fantasy. We really want these people dead.
Well, you know, there's a lot of money at stake here. Tequila, Tequila, or Courtney Love, if you want to, eat a warm bath for the rest of eternity, the Superstar would be grateful.
Yeah, we stand to financially gain from the demise of these celebrities. I'm not standing out in the street waving a flag with the X around Denny Reyes' face, but hey, I wouldn't mind if he crashed his car and died tomorrow. That would probably mean I'd win a Celebrity Deadpool.
It's tough economical times, right? You use anything you can get.
Keeping the mood. Yeah, keeping the mood light.
Yeah, we're getting
All right, Chris, dare I ask you to elaborate further on your dream involving yourself and Jenna Fischer? For those of you who missed it, I think it was a couple of weeks ago now. I had a dream about. In this dream, I was in bed naked with Jenna Fischer, and I'm a big Office fan. I watch Office, The Office, the American version. I also watch the UK version. They're different. They're actually very different, but I like them equally as good. But I like Jenna Fischer. But to elaborate on what it was like, I mean, she was way into it. I mean, really. Soft skin. At least in my dream she had it. I don't know if she really has it. But yeah, she was way into it, which is why it was a dream. But I am a recognitive dreamer, so you never know. The next time I go out to L.A., maybe I'll run into her. We'll end up in bed together, and she'll be way into it. You know, I
don't even know what to say to that. I don't even know if I want to comment on this.
Yeah, I hope my current lady friend ain't listening no more.
try booking your Blackhawk trip out to see the Kings next year, dumbass.
Forget about the Thanksgiving trip to Southern California to hang out with friends and watch the Blackhawks play. I'm gonna need a date for Saturday night.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to go to a nice dinner on Saturday night, email me. I might have a seat. Yeah, so I hope she ain't listening, because that would be bad. But if she was listening, she'd probably turn it off now. So what the hell? I mean, what other celebrities would be?
There's no way she made it to this point.
So what other, since she's gone, and I don't care, and I slept all day and have no notes for the show, Superstar, what other celebrities should I bang in my dreams?
Hey, man, you want to bang any celebrity you want? I'm all for it, man. I'm all for open opportunities for you, Block.
How about you, Superstar? What female celebrities, or male, I mean, let's not be discriminatory here.
Well, you can definitely stay with the females there, Block. I am a very married man, so. Yeah, I
did you have that worked into the vows? Do you have that that stipulation?
No, we definitely did not. It's really funny you mention that. You hear a lot of stories about how couples will have celebrity lists that their spouses will give them a pass for, and we did not do that. But she's never one to shy away from telling you how good looking a man will be on TV. And heaven forbid if I say, wow, she's cute, I get ridiculed for a long time. So,
what'd you say?
Yeah, as far as celebrities, I don't know. There's a couple of them out there, but we'll keep it past. We'll let you ride solo on this one.
You know the girl, the woman that really gets me going is Zooey Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel. Where do I know
she
that
was
name?
She's in Almost Famous. She was the flight attendant.
Oh yes.
I like her.
Bad one right there.
Yeah, I like her look. She's. She should get something.
See, I'm going to reserve my right because, these celebrities, and I don't follow them, and you know, quite frankly, there's a lot of them out there, but I just don't know how old they are anymore.
No,
I don't want to be incriminating myself here.
A couple of things. I want to make note before we continue with emails, because I just found my note on this. The lines today at practice were interesting. I don't know if you saw the superstar. Joe Quenneville, he cracks me up. So the Blackhawks last week go 1-2, barely get a win in Atlanta in the shootout. So now he's put Patrick Kane on the left wing. Now Dave Boland is due back from his rib injury on tomorrow night, Wednesday night, probably tonight by the time most people listen to this. So Dave Boland's come back. Now, what do we remember about Dave Boland when he was in the lineup? He was awful.
Bad.
Just awful. In the games preceding his stint out of the lineup, in order to get his game going, he was put on a line with Marian Hossa. What did he do? He sucked the life out of Marian Hossa's game. Marian Hossa was the hottest player, one of the hottest players in the league to start the season off. It wasn't immediate. Hossa had a game and a half, I think, that he was sort of, you know, he wasn't picking up points. But then he gets put with Dave Boland, and I remember talking about it on the show, like Marian Hossa was just aggravated with Dave Boland's decision-making on the ice. You know, Marian Hossa was open. Dave Boland can't find him. Dave Boland's doing these stupid, you know, spinaroonies on the ice, throwing pucks every which way, and he's just a mess. So in his first game back from rib injury, what does Joe Quenneville do? He gives Dave Boland a promotion to the second line. And what is going on over there?
Nothing.
Something's going on over there.
Absolutely nothing's going on.
I'm sure.
I promise you.
Okay. So Dave Boland's centering the second line. And who are going to be his line mates tomorrow night, according to today's practice? Marian Hossa and Patrick Kane.
Oh, good God.
I mean, if he screws this up, he needs to retire.
Yeah,
We should put a special wing in the Hockey Hall of Fame for Dave Boland for being a distinctly known player, for being able to suck all of the life out of two superstar hockey players. If he screws this up.
Yeah, that's a recipe for tons of success for him or epic failure.
Yeah, one of two things are either going to happen. Either Joe Quenneville is going to abandon this at some point in the second period, or it'll actually work, because how could you screw that up? Other than the fact that I don't know why Kane and Hossa are on the same line, because they both need to have the puck. But let's just say you do have two of the best offensive players in hockey on your line. You should just stay out of the way and pick up a point here and there, and then I'm going to have people say, oh, no, Dave Boland, he's back on track. That Dave Boland, he's awesome. Well, no. So the top line is Jonathan Toews with Sharp on his wing, because Joe Quenneville can't decide whether or not Patrick Sharp is a center or a left winger, and Victor Stahlberg on the right wing. Now, Victor Stahlberg, my opinion has not changed of him. But, you know, he's picking up some points, so, yeah, he deserves this. Victor Stahlberg, you know what Victor Stahlberg is? He's Ratty and Verbata. He's going to get some points. He's going to look good. But when push comes to shove, he's going to disappear. The third line is a trip. I mean, Fernando Pisani's got a couple of goals now. That was about the one good thing that came out of last week. with Thomas Kopecky, the struggling Thomas Kopecky, and Troy Brower. This is what it's come to. Fernando Pisani is being put with these two guys to help pick up their games. That's what it's come to, ladies and gentlemen. And Jake Dow on the fourth line with Jack Steele and Brian Bickle. Also wanted to point out that in Rockford on Saturday night, there was a considerable scout presence at that game. Now, I don't know exactly who they were there to see, but maybe they were there to see a bunch of people, but see off the top of my head. See who I saw. New Jersey, the Rangers, the Islanders were definitely there. Tampa, Columbus had a couple of people there, and Minnesota. So a bunch of scouts. And if I were to guess, I would say they were there. Rockford played Manitoba, which is Vancouver's farm team. My guess would be to say that they were there to see Jeff Tambellini, who was just sent down to the minors. Like, considering the teams that were there, they're looking for depth players, probably who they were looking at. Maybe Eddie Lack, who was the starting goaltender for the Moose that night. But, that's something interesting to note off the weekend. All right, back to emails. This will be a fun one. This is from Beth, who's a longtime listener and emailer. I think Beth goes back to, that's a loyal listener. I think she goes back to from the beginning, like on the website, if I have that.
God bless her soul.
Yeah. I've never banged her.
Are you sure?
Hiya, Chris. Love the show as always, you know that, even though I don't always agree with you. Love hearing you and the superstar talk non-Hawk stuff. Just as much as the hockey talk. Question, maybe I missed it. I haven't listened to every one of the shows. Most, not all, maybe 70%. But have you ever mentioned on the show how you and Superstar met? You're obviously pals, but I don't ever recall you explaining how or a relation you two have. And why is Superstar just referred to as Superstar? Does he have a real name? Is that his real name? And is there a reason he conceals his true identity? That's Beth. Do you want to tackle any of that?
No, you know, I will give carte blanche to you to tackle all parts of this.
Superstar and I met in high school, I guess. Definitely in high school. What was it? It was Business Explorations?
Business Explorations with Mr. Bryant.
Mr. Bryant and Business Explorations. You had a rotation of two Cubs jerseys that you would wear four times a week to, you know,
yes,
together. I think that was eighth hour class, so I probably slept in it.
Most of the time you did.
Yeah. I slept in first hour accounting and eighth hour. Well, that would have been freshman year, so that would have been first hour English, second hour comp, computer educations, or introduction to computers. Because back in back in the day when you got to junior high and high school, they actually taught you how to use a computer still, and you had to do typing classes. Remember those? Like you got timed on how fast you could type and all that stuff.
Absolutely. You know, you're dating us a little bit, Locke. I mean, I think everyone knows that we're in our young 30s, but really, really dating us now.
I'm still a slow typer. I mean, not like really slow. I mean, obviously, I can type pretty fast, but I don't know. I'm not like secretary speed by any imagination.
That explains the newsletter.
As far as how Superstar got his name, that it's actually a really simple story. It was a rib. We played hockey together in high school, and in the locker room one night, we all like sort of get in the locker room at the same time. We walk in there, and Superstar's already sitting there with all of his gear on. He's ready. It's a big game that night, and Superstar's got all of his gear on. He's ready. You can see he's getting amped up there in the corner, right? And we're all joking and laughing and probably telling a bunch of dirty jokes and talking about what we're going to do after the game, what we did before the game, and all that kind of stuff. And Superstar had enough. He's like, come on, guys, you know. He's trying to rev us up. And it was me that just looked across at him from the dressing room, and I just said, all right, Superstar. And that was the first time I ever called you that.
Jesus, it's stuck over 10 years now.
Yeah, over 10 years. I mean, that was 15 years ago. You're not going to be on the show next week because evidently you get your birthday off.
I was told that I was having my birthday off by my better half, so... this will be the last Tuesday night for the Superstar in a while.
It's a nice round number, too. I mean, is there going to be any get-together, any drinks and celebration this weekend, or no? Or am I not invited? That's quite possible.
No, this weekend I will be partaking in many adult beverages at Yost Arena, seeing Notre Dame, Michigan on Friday night, and... Saturday night, I will be at the Joe to see the Avalanche and the Red Wings.
Say hi to Adrian Dater while you're there.
I will.
Adrian Dater, who I'll try to get on the show again, but that didn't work out. We should have a guest next week. I confirmed it on Saturday night, but... I don't want to say until he's actually on because I'll jinx it. We actually probably have a couple guests. We have a Rockford guest, and hopefully we'll have a Rockford guest, and we also have the guest that I confirm. And I'll have to try to get somebody else on to co-host with me in case all that falls apart and I'm here sitting by myself.
Nobody wants to hear that.
No. Those have traditionally been a disaster.
Yes.
All right, this one's about the website. I get this question a lot, a couple times a month usually. Chris, why no place on... I'll clean the sentence up for you. Why no place for comments on your site? I feel like your site has some of the better commentary around. It'd be nice for us readers... Have a chance. Be nice. I can read Superstar. I swear I can, just not to say no. It'd be nice to see us readers have a chance to throw our two cents in every now and then and see your responses. For your benefit, comment apps, I don't know if that's what they're actually called, but comment apps would drive more visitors to your site as well. Curious as to the reason why this blog isn't like many other Hawks blogs. Well, that right there, thank
yeah.
God for that.
Well, you know, I think part of the problem is not only would it most certainly would drive more people to the website, but see, that would also force Block to his own website. And, you know, that's just not always going to happen.
Yeah, you got to understand that I somehow get away without ever, I mean, I have to look at the site every once in a while just to make sure that it's still there, just with the history of this website in the last couple of years with unfortunate moves to brutal sports website networks and my own, just mistakes made along the way. So I go, like, usually once a day I'll type in thethirdmanin.com, hit enter, and make sure that it's there. But I don't ever have to go there. And once I hit post, and then I look at it and try to proofread it a little bit, that's it. I'm done. That's the extent of it. Now I'm off watching hockey, you know, reading up, doing other things. That's I'm done. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. First of all, and you're right, Superstar, I hate people. Okay? That'll be number one. So, you know, I really don't care what you think. I mean, that's almost true. I mean, I care what people think. But, no, ever since this, it'll be a few months from now, it'll be the five-year anniversary of this website in one formation or format or another. It's a long time. And ever since I started, I interact with people by email. So that's just the way I do it. And you know what? If you want to, when I was on BlogUN, we had it because it was a part of their network and it was there, and I was like, fine, whatever. I guess if that's what people want, give that to the people. But there were so many problems with that fucking brutal BlogUN that, people would try to, I get emails from people that said that they would type their comment in and then they'd hit, post, and the thing would disappear, and they'd be like, well, I'm not retyping that, And I experienced that myself, like, trying to respond to people. So that's really where I was just like, you know what, screw this. I mean, I don't have time to monitor it because, I think if you go to any of these other sites, you notice that, when things get out of hand and then somebody, an administrator from the site, whichever site it is, has to go on there and monitor and police people, I don't want to do that. I don't have time to do that, and I'm not going to do it. People can't be trusted, and I don't see any value. So if you have a thought or you have an opinion or you want to call me an idiot, my email is at the end of every post, and there's an email form on the website. It's very simple.
And Brock, I don't want to set us up for massive failure, but maybe there's even in lieu of both of our schedules to do a show based on people calling in with their comments. And I'm not saying do it every week, but maybe an extra special version of TTMI Radio could be arranged as well.
Yeah, we should ask people to call in again. I haven't given out the phone number for this show in probably 6-7 months. we have people. There's two people up there right now, but I know they're truck drivers that call in and listen while we're on, while they're driving around the contiguous. But, I don't. 347-857-3781. I haven't said that in about 6 months, so. Yeah, we should take calls. I'd take calls if, maybe one night. All right, that's enough for emails. I'll tell you that. Jack Skilly. Here's my thought on Jack Skilly, okay? Now, I was a big Jack Skilly guy when he was at Wisconsin, and then I sort of watched his game a little bit more, and I sort of had questioned my own sensibility. And then I watched him at Rockford, and I knew that I was nuts for for thinking the guy was going to be a great NHL player. But here's the deal on Jack Skilly. If someone said to me, what would you do? What would you, suggest Jack Skilly does to turn this thing around? I said, come over here, Jackie. Sit down here, little buddy. This is what Jack Skilly could do. Jack Skilly's got to forget about trying to be a scorer in the National Hockey League because he's not going to be, all right? That streak up the side, yeah, he's got wheels, but that streak up the side, gain the line, dip his shoulder, shift his weight from his front foot all the way to his back and throw that wrist shot on net that the goaltender is already set and eating a sandwich by the time it gets to him, that's not going to work. Occasionally, yes, and it'll probably be tomorrow night. It'll probably just because Kyle Beach scored tonight after, 12 hours after I went off about him on the website. It'll probably be tomorrow night that Jack Skilly scores, and it'll be on that very move. He'll beat Ilya Bryzgalov, having a slow glove at that moment. But by and large, it's not going to work. This is what Jack Skilly's got to do. Jack Skelly is a supporting cast player. He's a fourth or a third line guy. He could get hot, or you know, be a change of pace guy that you slot up on one of the scoring lines when they need a little something extra. But what he's got to do is he's got to make the decision that his career isn't going to be a long one, that he's going to pay the physical price to be a presence in the National Hockey League. And, yeah, it probably takes some of the life off of his career. But you know what? If he doesn't make this change, if he doesn't say to himself, you know what, I'm going to go into the corner, I don't care how many cross checks, how many whacks, how many slashes, how many elbows, how many fingers in the eyes I get in these scrums in front of the net, I don't care because this is how I'm going to make a difference on this hockey club. He's got to make that commitment. When he gets the puck, no more shots from 45, 50 feet out. Drive in the net with that puck. Now, he's got the wheels to try to, you know, get to that puck, get that puck to the net first, and then his line mates could then converge. But that's what he's got to do. I want him to shoot close. You know, when he's closer than that, yes, that means paying a physical price. And we've seen that he gets knocked off his skates a lot. But the game that he's employing right now, there's a reason why he's on the fourth line. It's because, you know, shots on goal are nice. But the quality of his scoring chances, I mean, they're no good. He's getting so, you know, being on the lower line, he is the guy that generates scoring chances because of his speed. But the quality isn't there. He needs to drive with that puck to the net, and then he's got to stay there and be a disturbance. Go into the corners, and there's got to be something more in his game, more of a commitment to the physical sense of it. And it's not just finishing checks. It's putting yourself in the middle of a pile and coming out with a puck. I think he might be capable of it. I don't know that he is. But that's something that he's got to have in his game. Otherwise, he's going to be insignificant, and he won't be a part of this team. Last year, Jack Skelly was told, and whether he was being, misled by Dan Boney, last year Jack Skelly was told that the reason that he wasn't on this team was because of his contract. Well, I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I would disagree with it, but that's what he was told. Jack Skelly believed it. Jack Skelly even went to the point where he said that he wanted. Jack Skelly said that he wanted to renegotiate his contract last year. He was willing to cut those bonuses off of his salary last year so he could fit under the cap. And of course, that's not an option under the current CBA. But that's what Jack. I mean, you know. So in Jack Skelly's mind, he's good enough to play at the NHL. But I don't think he's good enough the way he's playing now. He's got to change his game a little bit. Like I said, he's got to go to the net. He's got to be in corners. He's got to use that speed in different ways. And, you know, I just don't see him carrying that puck up the boards. He skates with his head down. He's too easy to catch up to and knock off the puck. There's got to be more there from him. And I'm not seeing it right now, and I just... You know, he's actually capable of it, and he actually looks like he's willing to do it, whereas Victor Stahlberg's not. But, yeah, I'd just like to see that out of Jack Skelly. And maybe, he'll be a little bit bigger of a factor on this team. Closing thoughts before we take off, Superstar?
Well, I think we hit it pretty hard that these next three games are a good indication of what we're going to get out of the rest of this team. And I fully agree with you. Six is needed. Five is acceptable. Anything under that, time.
Yeah, I mean, there's games along the way all season long that are you know, you could call the biggest game of the year, but I really think this game on Wednesday night, tomorrow night, tonight if you're listening to us on Wednesday, that this game's absolutely essential. I mean, 2 points are essential. I'm not going to complain if it takes them overtime or a shootout, the 2 points are absolutely essential. Phoenix is at the bottom of the conference. They've got off to a bad start. They don't have near the depth as they did. They don't have anything to play for. We talk about the Blackhawks don't have an identity or any, you know, it doesn't seem like they have anything to play for. Phoenix does. Last year it was all about, you know, the NHL owned the team, and they were in limbo, and they were playing for each other. They had a purpose. This year they don't have a purpose. Plus, they lost some quality players. That defense is relying on Ed Jovanovski, Adrian Acoin, and Derek Morris outside of what's his name? Keith Yandle. Sorry. I was going to say Ballard, but I knew Ballard was in Vancouver. Keith Yandle, who's a very good defenseman, but those other top three guys, those guys are unreliable. So the Blackhawks got to pounce on these guys. And, you know, Wojtek Walski isn't doing anything. Like I said, Doan's out of the lineup. This is a team that you've got to beat. We'd love to see the Blackhawks curb stomp these guys, but, you know, I think that might be too much to ask at this point. Just get the 2 points. Take that into Saturday night, and I'd feel a lot better about the Blackhawks if I could watch them go into Nashville. Forget about the guys that they're missing, but go into Nashville and get 2 points there as well. And then come home on Sunday. I think Sunday night, no matter what, Sunday night's gonna be a tough game. Anaheim's so well coached, and they're getting good goaltending right now, and their second line is one of the better second lines in hockey right now with Jason Blake, Teemu Selanne, and Saku Koivu. So, should be interesting. The fantasy hockey note, if you're in a league and Jeff Skinner is a free agent in your league, you're in a league with a bunch of dumb guys. So as I say that, I should probably go and check my league. Maybe we got a bunch of dumb guys in our league. Any closing thoughts there, Superstar?
No, that was about it, man.
All right, well, you'll be back in 2 weeks on November 23rd, and then after that we're going to shift back to Mondays for a while. But, all right, Superstar, thank you for joining us and everybody as well. Next week, hopefully I won't be sick and flipping it off all day, and we'll actually know what we're doing here.
Hello?
I wouldn't hold our breath.
Yeah. I don't know.
Mickey Muhammad.
Hello, Peter. What's happening?
I just like to play stuff every once in a while.
I know.
Alright, we might as well...
You sound like a gay...
I can't imagine anybody's listening at this point.
No.
Song up his ass. I've got some big news.
You know, you say that, but, you know, I think our listeners surprise us once in a while. They are looking for punishment.
I know they surprise us because they email me every Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. I have to be held accountable. We're talking about the Blackhawks here. I have to be held accountable for this week, this show every week of the year.
Hey! Who wants to have some fun?
All right, let's go.
All right, man.
All right, everybody. That's another edition. ThirdManIn.com. Check it out. We'll have some stuff. Actually, some very interesting stuff in the next couple days. I've been working... on some projects. You want to know how much of an idiot I am, Superstar?
Oh, I would love to hear this.
So, I've been having a lot of computer issues lately, right? I mean, one thing after another with these computers, and I had to, I hope nobody from work is listening, or the office is listening, but I actually borrowed a computer from the office. Brought it home and I set it up, and it's not completely functional. That's why nobody was using it, but it's working out just fine until I decide what I want to get. Because I haven't actually bought a computer in a few years, so I got to figure out. Maybe you could help me with this, but I lost everything in on my last desktop PC. I lost everything, and I didn't completely realize how much stuff that I was losing when I, you know, tried to do a full whatever recovery. So I'm going through all these files that I'm looking for now, website files, personal, you know, things, and all this kind of stuff. My master files for the thirdmanin.com, not the posts or anything, but my research, my database, all that. We're talking about the Blackhawks, the mega roster, like all the stuff that you saw, all the history stuff that you used to see on the website, like where I'd get that, where all my personal, you know, database files and stuff like that, all gone. I never backed them up onto the external hard drive. So I've been searching through my email over and over and over and over again this last week, and I finally found, because occasionally I just email my stuff to myself, you know, if I'm, you know, going to be out or on the road or something, so I email stuff to myself. I finally found a version of a couple of these master files, but it's like a year old. So I've got, like, it's just a mess. I got a lot of work ahead of me.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. All right. So next week, November 16th, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, walktalkradio.com/thethirdmaninn, thethirdmaninn.com, or something like that, and also iTunes. Everybody, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next time. Good night, everybody.